Well, good morning, church. And again, it is exciting to share with you the Word of God. Today's Mother's Day. And this is a Mother's Day that perhaps is, well, we know it's much different for all of us who are used to coming to church and celebrating mothers together. Mothers are so very special to us all. And I'd like to, by God's grace, encourage us as we think about mothers today. Before we get too far into that, I do want to put this day into its proper perspective. Because as we think about mothers and motherhood, there are all kinds of different perspectives and views that people bring to the table when that title, mother, is mentioned. As we think about it, sometimes mothers weren't all that nice. So as we think about motherhood, and we remember that there were times when perhaps some of you had mothers who were not that easy to get along with, and perhaps they didn't know the Lord. And so that's the way you grew up, and that's the understanding that you had of a mother. I'm not a mother, but it is important for us as men to realize that motherhood is so exciting, but yet it is not easy. Under the very best of circumstances, it is often very, very hard and challenging. And yet, we see so many women thriving and serving as mothers with such a great joy. And we are very blessed. For some, motherhood is a very lonely path, often traveled in weariness. Oh, I trust that our church fellowship is a place where that loneliness is confronted with companionship and friendship and love. But let's remember this, that sometimes mothers feel very alone. Sometimes they feel like, does anyone realize what I did this morning? What happened in my day? I know that the reality for many women in our day is that biological motherhood is impossible. You've tried to have children, and you have desired children, but God has not opened your womb. We stand with you today and want you to know that we're proud of your heart for children and for your love and devotion in whatever ways you find possible to express that mother's heart into the lives of others. We recognize that this is a hard place to be. And my prayer is that you would know God's grace today and His joy in your precious heart. I also realize that there are some, and this is probably more than we realize, that they became mothers at a time in their life when they weren't expecting to be moms. Or perhaps this was not something they had planned or desired. Or there are some women in our day where motherhood was, in some senses, forced upon them. Oh, I know that God is in charge of the womb and forming a little baby, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But there are some ladies in our day and age, when they think about motherhood or they look at motherhood, they have this in the back of their mind. For some, motherhood, their first experience of motherhood was a result of a sinful decision that they made in their life. And perhaps there is this sense of guilt in your life. And dear church, dear ladies, I pray that you would be immersed in God's grace and mercy and forgiveness today. That you'd cling to that. And that you would rejoice in the precious children that God has blessed you with. With that being said, children are the integral part of any discussion about motherhood, right? We're not talking about being a wife, we're talking about being a mom. And you're a mom, you realize that the very moment that you understand that you're carrying a little one in your womb. Because we understand and know that God has placed within you a child. I went through our church body and I counted up all the moms and I came up with 41. I might have missed one or two, but nevertheless, I'm not going to name all of you, but 41 different ladies who are moms in our fellowship. Out of those 41 mothers, there are over 120 children represented. What an incredible heritage we have in our fellowship alone, the Christian Church of Rural Grove. And you 41 ladies, and anyone else that may be under the sound of my voice or watching this, I trust and I want you to know that we appreciate you. And we thank you for your dedication into raising your children and for your love for them, both when they were small and as they grew. We stand with some of you whose children have preceded you in death, some having died in the womb, some having died young. The grief that you have experienced in your life, many of us do not fully grasp and understand. But nevertheless, you are a mother. Nevertheless, you cared for that child. And you loved that child. And that child was God's gift to you. Now, as I think about the over 120 children represented in our fellowship, I think about how many of them are young ladies. Young ladies still growing up in their homes, and how they are very impressionable, and how they're looking around and learning new things and watching. And you know what ladies, our little girls are really watching you. And they're watching you to see what it means to be a lady. They're watching you to see what it means to be a mom. The very definition of motherhood is becoming very blurred in our day and in our age. Our culture is not helping. As our culture moves further away from God, our children are becoming more and more confused as to the basics of life, gender, and roles. And so what is a mother in these days? We want to be able to help our young ladies and to teach our young ladies what it means to be a mother. And as I thought through this, I'm not one, obviously. But as a pastor, I like to take the opportunities that we have to address the various different groups in our church as we have various different days. We celebrate them, Mother's Day, Father's Day specifically. And as I prayed, and as I've been asking God for how to minister in the lives of His church today, and what follows is His message for us. And I say that us because it's not just a message for mothers. It's a message for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a message about fearing God. Now I begin in a passage that when I say it, many women cringe. Proverbs 31. Why do many women cringe? Because when they look at Proverbs chapter 31, so often what they see is they see a woman who is so high and on a pedestal that no one can ever measure up. I want you to understand something about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs lays out for its readers and for us, for the people of Israel, lays out biblical principles, lays out principles and precepts from God that we as people are to seek to attain. Words of wisdom. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If words of wisdom were simply those things that were easy, simply those things that we didn't have to work hard at all, simply just things that were natural, then are they really words of wisdom? Or are they just simple instructions for life? You see, wisdom, what it does is it presses into us it takes the knowledge that we have and it raises us up and says, this is how God wants us to use that knowledge. This is how God wants us to live. And listen, people, naturally, we do not live in a way that pleases God. Naturally, we do not attain to the very wisdom of God. But nevertheless, what God does is He gives us His wisdom so that we as His followers, as His people, and the New Testament calling us His children, we have His wisdom before us that we seek to live in His ways. You see, God knows and understands that the wisdom of the world is foolishness. But you know, the wisdom of God is found in the gospel. Something that the world doesn't understand. It makes no sense for somebody to die on the cross and then He's your Savior, right? But you know, that's the wisdom of God. And so the wisdom of God stands out. And you know what, young ladies? Pay attention to the Word of God because there's the wisdom of God. And I'm warning you, the wisdom of God is going to look a lot different than what you're going to hear and see in the world. And as we as the church and as those who are your elders seek to minister into your life, you're going to have a choice to make. And I will tell you right now that there is going to be a stark difference between what God teaches you and what the world is teaching you. And you know what, church? When we teach, we better match up with what God says. Let us not compromise. Let us not be blurred with the things of the world. Our children need God's wisdom. So I hope you're in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 begins the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. His mother taught him. Yeah. Mothers, your teachers. I hope you look at yourself like that, as a teacher. You know, in most homes, children spend most of their time with their mothers. I know that there are some various differences, and sometimes it's the father. But you know what? Children spend a lot of time with their mothers, especially while they're young. During that time period, what are you doing? What do you do with your children? How do you spend that time? And we see from the scriptures that what ought to be happening during that time is teaching. Laying out for your children God's truths and basic principles of life, and doing so through the grid of His holy word. I'm not saying that you have to sit down and have some sort of church service every time that you're with your children. No. But what you do is you spend, when you're spending time out in the garden or when you're going shopping or whatever it might be, you're helping them see the world through the lens of God and His word. That's not my main point today, but I just want you to notice that the mother is teaching her son. She goes through and she instructs her son on various different things. And then verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The virtuous woman. Are we helping our young ladies to aspire, to desire this quality, to be a woman of virtue? That is the idea of moral excellence. We ought to be. And I want to tell you something. How do you do that? Let's put it this way. How can you do that without taking God's word and applying it into their lives? You see, moral excellence is found in the one who is morally excellent, in the one who is holy, in the one who is pure. And that, my friends, is our Lord. And so we learn from Him. The verses following then begin to describe this woman, this virtuous woman. Like, who are you looking for, my son? You want to look for a virtuous woman. This is who she is. This is how she lives. This is how she ministers to her children. Well, I want to take us all the way to the end of this chapter. In verse 30, we read these words: favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's where I want to camp for a moment. Favor, it's deceitful. Beauty, it's vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, if we're responsible, and we are, for teaching our young people what it means to be a father or a mother, and today we're looking at mothers, if that's our responsibility, and we ought to be laying it out, what that looks like and what that means. If we were to boil it all down and if we had just one thing that we could pour into the lives of our young ladies, what would it be? I believe it ought to be this truth: a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fearing the Lord. For those that are very young, those younger minds, this fearing the Lord may be something that is confusing to them. Why do I fear? Why is that the major point? Why is that stand out as so very important? To fear the Lord, does that mean that I tremble and do not want to be in His presence? No. You see, to fear the Lord here implies such a high regard, respect, and reverence for Him that you listen and obey Him. Because you understand, because you realize that if you do not, the consequences are tragic. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 14 begins with an interesting statement. It says this, Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. Are we teaching this to our young ladies? Are we helping the ladies in our life to realize and understand the value they have, the role, the influence, the power, shall we say, in the lives of our homes and of our households? A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And you understanding that the context of the book of Proverbs is to teach what it means to fear the Lord. And so here in chapter 14, verse 1, we have this important principle. A wise woman, she builds her house. But a foolish woman plucks it down with her hands. Mothers, the homes ought to be the primary focus of your life, your home. And everything that that means. It means your husband, it means your children. Take care of them. And God gives us wisdom here. God grants you the privilege of knowing how you can have a healthy home. Be wise, because a wise woman is going to build her home. The tragic consequence of not being a wise woman and not taking God at His word and living accordingly is foolishness. And if you choose to live in foolishness, what you're doing is with your own hands tearing down your household. Now, for some, this may be a hard thing to hear, and there may be senses of regret or guilt that rise up within your heart. You know, as a preacher of the Scriptures and as your pastor, I know that there are times that I have said things that have been offensive to you. Well, let me say this. And in my preaching, I know that there are times when the message comes and it hits your heart and you say, ouch. And you look at your life and you're saying, wow, God, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me? Oh, I trust that you understand. God's word is for our good, to give us the opportunity to live in ways that He knows are best. And mothers, with your influence in your homes, it's powerful. And you need to live with wisdom. God wants to use you. And don't lose this point. God wants to use you to build up that home, your family. you read through that Proverbs chapter 31 passage, and you see how God is using that woman to build her home and to build into the lives of her husband and in the lives of her children. Verse 28 of that chapter says this: her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Why is that? It's because she has invested and built up her home. How can she do that? She can only accomplish that through applying the wisdom of the Lord. All right, so what does that mean? Let's talk about some practical examples. It means, well, let's take the Word of God and say, what does it mean for moms? God, what do you say to me as a mother? And this ought to be your work, ladies. As you're a mom, as you're caring for your home, this ought to be something you're doing, is saying, God, show me and teach me. Titus chapter 2, another chapter that I know, ladies, if you know the Word of God, you've heard this before, but listen to what it says. Verse 3, the aged women, the older women, likewise, they be in behaviors become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I'm in Titus 2, now verse 4, that they may teach the young women. What is it? What's God's wisdom? The older women are to be teaching the younger women. And what are they to be teaching? To teach them to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste or pure, to be keepers at home, to be good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice that God's wisdom here is that the word of God be paramount in your life. You live this way so that God's word is not looked at and despised. And you see, we've got to be teaching our children these truths. Ladies, teach your young ladies this valuable truth. This is wisdom. And if a mom is going to build her home, she needs to be wise. And so she needs the Word of God. Well, what else is wisdom? Well, go to Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 28, we read these words: God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You see, being a mother was God's design. It is God's design. That's wisdom. You see, the wisdom of God's word tells us, puts within our minds that God, this is good in His sight. This is not a burden to be shed, but a blessing to be embraced. A mother is a part of God's plan. We know that the Hebrew women, they looked forward to having children, and barrenness was, and I know it still remains today, a heartache for so many. It's interesting, and you read through the scriptures, how many women were barren. And you read and you describe their, you see described their heartache. Why were they barren? Because they knew what God said, and being a mother and filling the earth was an important part of their role. And you know what else they knew? Is they knew that God had said to the serpent in chapter Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God decreed that his redemptive plan, his plan to bring about victory over the devil involved the womb of a woman and her seed, the baby that would come forth. Now, God didn't say who that would be here in Genesis. And so Hebrew women would long to be a part of that incredible promise. And so the wisdom of God helps us understand that being a mother is God's design. You also realize that it's God's doing. If you look at the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel, she was barren. She longed to have children. And she prayed and she asked God for a child. And when she left the tabernacle that day, Eli said to her, "May the Lord's petitions come true for you today." And she went home that day not knowing if God would answer her prayer, but she went home confident that she had done what she could, that she had feared the Lord. And in her life, God did bless her with a child, and that child was Samuel, the first prophet of the people of Israel. A wise woman, every wise woman, Proverbs 14:1, builds her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. I just want to take a moment to look at that foolish aspect. Foolishness, if you want a definition of that, is knowing what is right, but yet still doing what is wrong. That's somebody that's foolish. And so as the church, it is our role to pour in truth into one another. That's part of my role as pastor. I am to feed and nourish the flock with God's truth so that we know what God desires and we can walk in wisdom. But if or when we go the other way, that is foolishness. Well, God's word in His wisdom connects motherhood with marriage and with a husband. And this is God's design and God's plan. One of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, is that just some archaic statement? And as our children grow up, they are watching in our world and in our media and in our culture, especially here in America, that marriage is no longer respected, no longer something that is according to God's definition, at least in our world. And so therefore, God's wisdom is being ignored. And so the foolishness is that we will just go and do what we want sexually. This happens even with women who are married and even those that have children. And so a foolish woman, you want to know what a foolish woman looks like in the way she tears down her house? The wise thing is that she is to be committed to her husband in marriage. But the foolish thing is for her to look elsewhere and for her to walk away from her marriage. This is just one small example of a way a woman can live a foolish way and thus begin to tear down her house. Well, that's quite a very drastic one, and you know that it's tragic. But what are some small ways? You know, you think about how in Titus chapter 2, the older women are supposed to teach younger women to be keepers at home. Well, you know, it is foolish if a woman prioritizes something else other than her home. I want you to notice I'm not telling a woman what to do, and I'm not condemning a woman who is working outside the home. But if God's wisdom is that an older woman is to teach a younger woman, according to Titus chapter 2, to be keepers at home, that's God's wisdom. And a woman chooses to not be a keeper at home, but to be a keeper somewhere else, that's foolishness, and that is a way that her home will begin to be torn down. So back to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen, fear the Lord. Be someone, ladies, be someone who acknowledges the greatness of God, not just with your words, not just in your devotional time, but with every step of your life. I know no one's perfect, and I know we're going to have times that we trip and stumble, times that when we will sin. But even in those times, you can fear the Lord by recognizing His mercy and recognizing His grace and the opportunity that you and I have to repent and to walk in His ways. I know I'm talking to people today, some who may right now be struggling with sin and may be struggling with foolishness. And I'm not asking children or husbands to look at the mothers in your life and to point your finger and say, you are being foolish. I'm not looking. That's something for you ladies to internally discern in your hearts before the Lord. But listen, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so, ladies, that is the way you can be pleasing both to God and someone who is building up her home. You fear the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is going to be a woman who cares for her home, a woman who loves her husband, a woman who loves her children. You want to teach your young people, your young ladies, how to be a woman who fears the Lord. Then be someone who exalts the Word of God and lives it. Someone that your daughter can say, Mom, why are you doing that? Why did you say that? And you can teach them God's way, God's wisdom. So that the next time that happens, the daughter looks at you and says, Mom, I know why you're doing that. I know why you said that. That's because that God said that. Because it's God's way. You know, I'm thrilled that we have so many children represented in our home, in our church here. Many of them are grown. I realize that. And as I think about that, I think of you mothers that are desperately praying for your wayward son or daughter. Now is not the time for you to look back and say, well, where did I go wrong or all this thing? Now, no. And that's not the intent or the purpose of this message or any other message on mothers. But now is the time to encourage you to be a wise woman, to be a woman who builds her home, and right now you pray for your children. And you keep on living out God's way. And you do your best to teach other younger women God's way. And I want you to know how I pray for you. I pray that God will give you glimpses and glimmers of hope, but glimpses of His work in your children. My prayer is that you will get to witness and see God's transforming power in the lives of your children. I want you to understand that us younger parents, and I consider myself a younger parent, I still have younger children, I want you to understand that I count it a privilege to walk with you and to learn from you and to see how God is working in your life even now as you pray for your children. I pray that your children walk in the truth. I pray that my children walk in the truth. And I know that as we pray and as we see God work in changing hearts, He's going to fill us with true joy. Because as we see our children walk in truth, there is a joy that comes from that. So thank you. Thank you, Mom. I thank my wife, and I'm so blessed for her and the mother that she is and continues to grow to be. I am thankful for each one of you ladies. The church would not be the same. The church wouldn't even be here if it wouldn't been for you, if it wouldn't be for you, for your willingness to follow the Lord and obeying Him. For your willingness to bear children in pain, constantly reminded of this curse of sin. For your willingness to sacrifice so much of your life and time and energy in raising little ones and teaching them God's truth. We are blessed. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the blessing of mothers. We thank you for the children. And we thank you for the privilege that we have as your church to train and to teach them your ways. I thank you for the message that you have brought forth today. And Lord, you know how I have wrestled in preparation for this time. And so I am entrusting these words to your Spirit. And oh God, I pray that you would lay them upon the listening hearts of your people appropriately. Lord, may they not hear or may they disregard anything that is not of you, but impress upon them, Lord, your message and your truth as you so desire it. I am in submission to you, my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.